I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, former San Antonio Mayor Ron Nirenberg is now the Democratic nominee for Bexar County Judge, and he has a book coming out. The book, Nirenberg, The Education of a Texas Public Servant, is an account of the former mayor's 8 years leading San Antonio through periods of crisis and change. It explains his views on leadership by building coalitions frequently across the political aisle. Nirenberg joins us to take your calls. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. It's safe to say that Ron Nirenberg is a household name in San Antonio. For 8 years, he was mayor of the city. He's now the Democratic nominee for Bexar County Judge. And drive down like the streets of my neighborhood, you're going to see signs, campaign signs in yards with the name Ron in big letters, so people know who he is. But there's still a lot about Ron Nirenberg that we didn't know outside of the news stories where he has taken on issues, sometimes controversial, for the city and the region. These questions like, where did this guy come from and what is he all about? Those questions and more are answered in the new book, Nirenberg, The Education of a Public Servant, soon to be released by Trinity University Press. And Ron Nirenberg joins us now in the studio. He's here to take your calls, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Ron Nirenberg, welcome to The Source. Great to have you.
Great to be with you, Dave. Thank you.
A lot we didn't know about you. Some confessions in the and the startling confessions in the book Nirenberg. First off, you are a Red Sox fan. Okay, we got to figure that out. Now, how does that happen?
That's not a confession that I think is startling to anybody. It's been actually part of my story for a long time. But yeah, I was born in Boston in 1977. My family moved to Texas in 1980. And so I've been a Texan for 45 of my 48 years. Unfortunately, in politics, if you're not born in Texas, sometimes they remind you of that constantly.
So the Red Sox, that's a hereditary condition.
It is, yeah. I guess you could call it a condition, but things are looking up this year.
This talk about, you laid out in the book, but I want to hear you tell the story of your grandfather, your immigration story.
Talk sure. About that. Yeah, so my father was stationed in Malaysia in the 60s in the Peace Corps, where he met my mother, where he's from, or where she is from and her family's from. Folks who know that part of the world, Malaysia is a melting pot, not unlike the United States is here on this hemisphere. But her family was from the Philippines, her father's family, and her mother's family, mother being born in Malaysia, was from India and England, actually Scotland. So that part of the family is very much diverse, but Southeast Asian. My father's side emigrated from the Russian-Poland area, what is now Ukraine, before World War II. They fled what was then becoming sort of a fascist environment, not friendly to Jews. And they left their town and came to the United States through Ellis Island. My grandmother on my father's side did the same thing. And so they met in the Jewish ghettos of Boston. And that's where my father was raised. And until he went to Malaysia for the Peace Corps, that's where our family was from.
Can you talk about how Jewishness, the other parts of your background, it's, you say you took a 23andMe test and it lit up like a Christmas tree all over the world. Mine, unfortunately, just comes from like one little part of England.
Yeah. Well, when a friend of mine gave me a 23andMe test because I was describing my background, it lit up the entire Eastern Hemisphere. And so anyway, the point of that is my family tree is quite diverse. My mother's side was devout Roman Catholic, and so growing up, it was an interfaith household. My father described himself as Jewish by heritage and culture. He didn't really practice the religion. And so the children were raised up Catholic. In fact, that was the only reason, that was the only way that he could get agreement from my mother's father to allow him to marry her.
And so San Antonio has a lot of these different strings also, different lines of people coming here, creating a city, a community, different cultures, different religious faiths. Do you think that's helped you in becoming a leader for the city?
It is, and it's one of the reasons why I felt so at home when I came here. I came to San Antonio to attend college at Trinity and fell in love with the city, the community, unexpectedly. And one of those reasons was because I felt quite at home with the diversity here. And to this day, it doesn't matter what room I'm in. Even before I entered public service, I always felt like it was family. And because, there are people from all over the world that have made this place home. It is also an indigenous community. It is a place where faiths from all over the world are practiced. And that felt kind of like family to me. And so it is a great statement about who this community has become that, someone that maybe wasn't necessarily born here, but also has the appreciation for what diversity creates, was embraced as a public leader.
And your wife, Erica, from the Valley.
Yeah.
And that adds to that as well.
Yeah. My wife, Erica, and I met at in Philadelphia while we were attending grad school, but she is a Valley girl, Rio Grande Valley, went to Weslaco High School and grew up a migrant farm worker. And she found that education was her way out of poverty. And so she attended school, she did very well in school, and we ended up meeting in school. And she ended up getting a job in San Antonio, and having already lived here and fallen in love with this place, I was very happy to follow her back. So I went to Philadelphia to get a degree. I got a lot more than that.
But the having that, her story informs me, like my wife's story informs me. She's from
Absolutely.
The border, from Laredo. It gives me more grounding, even though I grew up in San Antonio. It just makes you feel like more responsibility. You feel the weight of all these people that you and people turn to you looking for leadership.
Oh, yeah. And Erica has, we've raised our son, Jonah, who obviously now has both hemispheres of his lineage lit up if he ever did a 23andMe. We've raised our son with those values to respect not only the diversity he comes from, but also our responsibility to lift people up. I mean, the importance of education to break cycles of poverty, but also the respect for labor and the people who are quite often forgotten about that make life possible in a comfortable country like the United States, the people that are responsible for putting food on our table. We don't forget that. It was people like Erica as a child who was breaking her back trying to make that happen for us here in the United States. And so it's very much a part of our life together. And by virtue of that, it's been a part of my life as a public servant.
Does that help you with the compassion? I mean, you talked a lot about San Antonio being a city of compassion. Does that feed into that idea?
Sure, it does, but also that is San Antonio and one of the reasons why people gravitate here. This is a place where the bedrock of our most important, our country's most important rights movements, human rights, civil rights, labor rights, are birthed here, or they start here. And so that's a part of our story, and it's part of the reason why I fell in love with San Antonio.
We're taking a break. We got Ron Nuremberg in the studio. He's talking about his book, Nuremberg, The Education of a Texas Public Servant. It is a memoir. It also goes over some of the controversies and big stories that happened during his time, 8 years at City Hall in the big office. We're going to be talking about that when we come back. If you've got a question, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We got Greg on the board. Greg, we'll get you on the air when we come back in 1 minute. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be joined by Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. But right now, we have the former mayor, Ron Nuremberg, in the studio. He is talking about his book. It's going to be coming out very soon by Trinity University Press, Nuremberg, The Education of a Texas Public Servant. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Everything you wanted to know about Ron Nuremberg, but you were afraid to ask, now's the time to call. Let's go to Greg on the phones. And Greg, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me on the air. Just a quick little backstory myself. I'm not originally from Texas, but I'm from a blue state transferring to a red state. It's been a little rough, but I love to call Bexar County home, and I also work for Bexar County. So, and it's been amazing, and I'm really looking forward to more. As a Bexar County employee, we kind of have a little bit of a jealousy of city employees on the wellness and benefits and the care that they get from city leaders being a city of San Antonio employee. So I'm hoping that you'd be able to kind of shine a light on what you plan to do or help county employees with.
All right, Greg, thank you for the call. Ron Nuremberg, of course, is the Democratic nominee for Bexar County Judge. He does have a election in November to get through. But if you were to be elected, Ron Nuremberg, do you have any plans for how to treat county employees?
Sure. Well, I've heard, stories from many employees in the county about the importance of their work and the dignity in their work. And that's certainly something that I will endeavor to shine a spotlight on. And part of what I want to make sure as the steward of taxpayers, is to make sure that as we invest in quality county employees, that we're able to retain them. And that has a lot to do with the kind of benefit structure and wellness programs that are available to them. I want to make sure that there's parity across the board. We quite often see employees going back and forth because there's a lack of parity among similar work. We've got to make sure that we equalize that and ensure that we're working together across jurisdictions to make sure that we're able to retain the quality employees that do the work for the community. So looking forward to digging into that, but thank you very much for your service, Greg. I appreciate what you do for the county.
And welcome to Bexar County, Greg. 833-877-8255. Call in if you've got a question or comment for Ron Nuremberg. So let's talk about your time at Trinity University. You go into journalism there at the school, try to revive what you say was sort of a sagging paper at the Trinitonian newspaper, and then you end up over at their jazz radio station, one of the great attributes of San Antonio, to have a full-time dedicated high-quality jazz radio station. So you go from, you were a trombone player in high school, and you celebrate San Antonio's jazz heritage, Jack T. Garden, another trombone player of San Antonio heritage. So talk about your love of jazz.
Sure. Well, there's a 10-year period in between there. When I went to graduate school, I got working for the Annenberg Public Policy Center and worked across the country, doing municipal policy research and teaching in high schools about how local government functioned. But coming back to San Antonio, to Trinity University, I ended up going to KRTU, which is the best jazz radio station in the world.
I believe it.
And their goal for us was to professionalize the station and expand their audience. And it got me back into one of my previous loves, which is music and specifically jazz music. So we ended up creating a program to celebrate the 10th anniversary of its heritage and the format change. And it ended up, for us, becoming a platform to unite the entire arts community within San Antonio. And for those folks who talk about San Antonio and look at our strategic advantages, one of them is this culture that is irreplicable. And one of the ways that we express that culture is through jazz music. A lot of people don't know the history of jazz in San Antonio. We had some of the most remarkable clubs here during the heyday of the jazz in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and beyond. And those are part of our history. And so you go to any corner of the city, there is jazz music that represents the flavor of where you are at. And we wanted to make sure that we expressed that through the station.
Let's go to Charles on the phones. And Charles, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask Ron Bina Sakai. This is kind of like his inaugural term. Has there anything stuck out in his tenure that you think he could significantly improve on or like just improve in your administration? Would you be elected versus what he's doing currently? Thank you.
All right, Charles, thank you for the call. Ron?
Sure. Well, not to get ahead of ourselves, there isn't an election in November, but there's a few things. One of them is being proactive about the issues that we're facing, one of them being growth in this community. We've been talking for probably 20 years about Bexar County and San Antonio being one of the fastest growing regions in the country, yet we do not have a growth strategy. So protecting our natural resources, whether it's the Edwards Aquifer or ensuring that communities are being developed that don't end up becoming substandard or not attached to in critical services like sanitation or public safety and basic infrastructure. We've got to work collaboratively across the region with the 26 different municipalities to address that, and that requires a growth plan. I help to co-chair the San Antonio Comprehensive Plan. We'll be doing the same kind of work at the county to get ahead of these issues.
Let's go to Stanley on the phones. Stanley, you're on the air.
Hi. My question had to deal more with international, the Palestinian situation. I understand he has a Jewish background and all that. However, there's a genocide going on there, and if he possibly went for Senate, Congress, or something like that later on in his career, would he be voting along those lines where he's sending United States tax dollars over to Israel and, his okay. situation? Maybe he could mention a little bit about the
Muslim. Well, Stanley, thank you for that. So we don't, Bexar County does not send any money to Israel, as far as I know.
That is correct. To my knowledge, there is nothing like that happening.
Any thoughts about what's going on with this war?
It's tragic, and it is probably the crisis point that a lot of the world's conflicts are can be viewed from. And the loss of innocent Palestinian lives, the loss of innocent Israeli life is
Iranian lives?
Iranian lives and the continued cascading of conflict beyond that region is a threat to future generations all across the world. And so I, like many people, believe that that should end. I also believe that it should be a durable peace that is much more complex than I think people generally account for. This is a conflict that dates back generations upon generations, if not centuries and millennia, for the folks that are in that region. And so it's easy to cast judgment or to project what the solutions will be. I will just say that from my belief, the only clear path to a durable peace involves a two-state solution in the Middle East. And so I, like everyone else, want to see fighting end. I want to see preservation of innocent life, Palestinian life, is Israeli life, and everyone in that region. And until that happens, we all have the crisis to bear.
So, you know, this is the thing about the leadership position that you have been in and that you're seeking. People are going to be looking to you. I mean, Bexar County Judge, if you get that position, what the voters decide in November. But, you know, you don't really have a say in how to solve Middle East peace. Right. But people really want our local leaders to be a voice for them in those areas. Is that a lot to ask?
It's not a lot to ask. In fact, that's why we ask for the positions that we have. But recognize also that there are people in this community that represent those generations many, many years back that are on all sides of this crisis. And so for a public leader to make a statement, it's not all that simple to do, to be able to best represent this entire community. And so as far as I'm concerned, the basic bottom line that we can all agree on is that the fighting should end, innocent lives should be saved, and we should all be working towards a lasting peace in the Middle East.
If we have a disagreement with this public policy, being able to come together and being able to express those views, organize, do what we can to communicate that?
Correct. And do everything we can to prevent the kind of hate towards groups of people, the Islamophobia, the anti-Semitism that is so part and parcel of the debates that we have now. It has gotten so heated that much of the language and the hatred is excused as part of the terms of engagement for dealing with this very complex issue. But I think we can all agree that here in San Antonio, we can reflect better than that.
Yeah, so closer to home, back to your book, Nuremberg, The Education of a Texas Public Servant. During your 8 years leading San Antonio City Hall, what was your biggest challenge?
Well, honestly, the biggest challenge in leading this community over the 8 years was recognizing all the significant challenges that we do have. And, one of the most significant being generational poverty, intergenerational poverty, the systemic issues that create poverty, aligning ourselves. And that means not just the civic community, but also the business community and community organizations, neighborhood leaders, aligning ourselves and being willing to do something about it. We didn't become one of the most socioeconomically segregated cities in the country overnight. There's a long time and a lot of history there. We're not going to undo it overnight, but aligning a community, marshaling the forces, building coalitions across lines to be able to do things about it, as I believe we are doing now, was difficult, and it requires sustained commitment. Commitment that sometimes can diminish over time and among transitions and between election calendars. But that's been the most difficult. But I also will say that that's where San Antonio has shined. We have been a city of collaboration, cooperation, and diversity. And we've been able to sustain those efforts because we believe in the potential of our neighbors. I go back to the ballot measures in November 2020. This community made big bets on the future in the most difficult time in our country has ever seen. We expanded our early childhood program. We launched our ready-to-work job training program to help allow adult workers, people who are raising families, into cycles of economic opportunity. We started investing in mass transit for the first time in our city's history. There are a lot of things we've done in the midst of crisis that are going to move our community significantly forward, but we have to recognize that it's going to take significant commitment over time to be able to accomplish those goals.
So you were, during COVID, got about a minute here, what do people want to take, what should they take away from how you led during COVID?
The first one is teamwork. The reason why Judge Wolf and I wanted to make sure that we were front and center is that we wanted to model teamwork. We don't do anything significant without working together. The other thing is honesty and transparency. There's good news and there's bad news, and we've got to give it all. And we've also got to make sure that people know when we think we need to change direction. So those are the big things. Accountability requires transparency. We've also got to work together as a team to accomplish big things.
So the book, Nuremberg, The Education of a Texas Public Servant, We didn't get into all of it. There's a lot of stuff in here behind the scenes of some of the big stories while he was mayor, some things you didn't probably know about. And I enjoyed reading it. So Ron Renneberg, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much, Dave.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Your monthly gift can power trusted journalism and make a difference beyond the airwaves. As part of TPR's spring fundraising drive, which starts March 11th, every new or upgraded sustaining member will have double the impact. The Krauss firm will donate school supplies for a child in a legally resettled refugee family through the Center for Refugee Services. Sustain independent reporting across South Central Texas while helping equip a local student for success. Start your monthly sustaining gift today at tpr.org.